Welcome to From the Horse's Mouth, the official podcast of Providence Day School, bringing you spirited, informative, and entertaining conversations from the global PD community. Now here's our host, a familiar face and voice on the PDS campus, world language teacher Jay Barron.
So hello and welcome to From the Horse's Mouth. I'm your usual host, Jay Barron, but today I get to step away from the mic and share it with a special guest host, Scarlett Greer, a senior here at Providence Day, who is very involved in sustainability. And I think you're going to enjoy listening to this conversation today about ways that students at Providence Day are making a difference for our environment. Scarlett, take it away.
Okay, hello everyone. This is Scarlett Greer speaking. I am here with Laura Plata, Jody Yan, Libby Barron, and Jennifer Todd. Libby Barron is an eighth grader she's here today to talk about solar panels. And along with that, we have Jennifer Todd, an architect and director of Center for Building Performance. And she's also going to talk about what solar panels might look like at Providence Day. Laura and Jody are part of the team of students working with Envision Charlotte to make bricks out of recycled plastic, which I've never heard of before, but I think that is so cool. I am part of the Upper School Sustainability Club here at PD. And for that reason, I just wanted to talk to Libby about her initiative that she's taken here on campus for solar panels. Libby, I really do admire your dedication to this cause, to try to get solar panels on campus. So I'm curious, what prompted you to take this first step? What was that process like?
Well, for me, I've just always been interested in the environment, and I've been wanting to help it because climate change is such a big issue that we're facing right now. So, and I think that solar panels is such a big part, and like renewable energy and all, is such a big part of making the world cleaner and just better. So if we start with like at PD, maybe other people will do it and it'll just make a better community. So
who did you reach out to first?
First I talked to my dad.
Right.
And then we went to Miss Goodman, who works in middle school, like a science teacher. Miss Goodman, Mr. Hudson, and then also Mr. Appel. So we could get some kind of
Get started. What were their reactions to this idea?
Miss Goodman and Mr. Hudson were really excited. Also, Mr. Appel, because we had a meeting earlier this year, and we all were just really excited to maybe like possibly get solar panels. So,
did you start this process by yourself, or I think you might have said that you worked with your sister, Sophie, on this, or were you the first one to really reach out?
It was mostly with my dad.
Okay.
But it's been all of us, like Miss Goodman and Mr. Hudson and Mr. Appel, working together. So yeah.
And Jennifer, you can chime in on this too, but do we know what that might look like here at PD?
We had talked about in meeting recently with the students. I work for Little Diversified Architectural Consulting, so we've done a few projects here on campus, and we heard there was interest in solar panels, so we've met with the students and kind of had a conversation about what that might look like, and we talked about different options. The most common, I guess, you see around is the solar rooftop, and while that is a good option, you get a lot of solar panels, it might not be a great option for existing buildings, but we talked about other options being solar parking lot lights and solar canopies, which can also provide shade for either parking or outdoor areas, things like that.
So for the first solar panels on campus, are we looking more for efficiency or for appearance, or what were some of the things discussed?
Yeah, some of the things we talked about were looking at what your current energy use is and seeing how we might be able to make the buildings more efficient before putting solar panels on the rooftop, just because that makes your investment in solar panels go a lot further when you can take a look at how you're using the electricity in the building and improve it. So whether that's light bulbs, you know, changing all the light fixtures out to LED fixtures, which are a lot more efficient. Looking at equipment in the building, make sure all of the appliances and devices, your computers, monitors, and everything are Energy Star rated.
Great. What do you think would be the long-term and short-term value of solar panelizing PD?
Yeah, as the electricity grid gets more efficient and is using more solar panels to produce their own energy, it's really going to help in the greenhouse gas emissions and reducing environmental impact of the other ways of producing energy, which are a lot less environmentally friendly than solar panels.
That's great. What do you think is a more realistic vision for the first step? Would it be those solar panels over the lights, over the parking garage, or on one of the buildings?
I think all of those are great options. It just depends on how you're going to end up using the electricity, the end use, and how you're going to tie it into the buildings and the grid.
Okay, great. Thank you, Libby. Thank you, Jennifer. I just wanted to shift gears for a second and talk about what Laura and Jody are doing. They are using recycled plastic to make bricks. Could you guys please talk about that?
Right, of course. So actually, funnily enough, we didn't start this whole process trying to create plastic bricks out of recycled plastics, out of food containers. Our main interest started with river plastics and trying to find a solution for those. But after a while, we realized we were just going down in circles, and that as much as we want to try finding a solution for solving this huge issue of ocean waste and river plastics is very, very difficult. And that's where we landed with working with Envision Charlotte and the initiative that PDS had already set up with collecting plastic containers of recycled plastic number 5 to use those to create plastic bricks, which we're hoping we can then turn to use into, gardening sheds or little wall brick decorations for outdoors, maybe even, if it's possible, creating tiny homes from these plastic bricks. This is something that we're still continuing to work on with Envision Charlotte, and that it's a progress we're only now starting, but it's something we're really excited about.
Why number 5 plastic? I mean, I know there was like different grades of plastic, but why that one?
Yeah, so it's actually funny. In Charlotte, the only plastic that can be recycled is number 1 plastic, so that's your plastic in water bottles. Every other type of plastic is just going to end up in landfills. And so number 5 plastics, if they're not reused or repurposed, are just go straight to landfills, right? So Envision is doing this great thing where they're, during COVID, and obviously we're still in COVID to an extent, but they were taking the number 5 containers and turning them into PPE. And
what is PPE?
Personal protective equipment.
Okay.
And these plastic bricks are just another option that the number 5 plastic can be used for.
How has Envision Charlotte helped you?
So again, we started this project originally working with an eCyber Mission grant. However, that time has passed, and we met Envision Charlotte again through the school, through Ms. Goodman and Mr. Hudson, who gave us their contact as a way for them to help us with finding a solution for these river plastics that we were really interested in working with. And when we found that there wasn't really a viable solution for that, they told us about this initiative that they were trying to bring, and we told them about the research that we had with plastic bricks and this whole online initiative called Precious Plastics, which was working on bringing this new innovative repurposing recycling system as a kind of like localized recycling system. And they were really interested in continuing to develop that They already had kind of the basics for this plastic lab for creating this. They just needed more ideas on how to expand it. So we used the funds that we had remaining for a grant to do research and purchase plastic brick molds, which we then gifted to Envision Charlotte so that they could continue their initiative working with these number five plastics and creating the plastic bricks from that.
Is there anything in specific that you or Envision Charlotte is working to build right now?
So right now, actually, there has been a lot of shipping delays. Seeing that this is just a really recent development, a really recent innovation as far as this whole plastic development idea. So we only just now got the extruder machine that is capable of making these plastic bricks a reality. So we haven't made anything yet.
The process for creating plastic bricks is very specific, is what we found. Originally, we had a very, scuffed setup with a wood chipper in which we were trying to shred our plastic and then melt it in a toaster oven, which did not work, we found. And through research and talking to Envision, we found out that there's very specific equipment that is used for melting plastic and creating bricks and other sorts of materials with these recyclable plastics, and that's one of the reasons why it's so hard to reuse plastic that isn't recyclable in a traditional way.
What were each of your roles? Was there one who was mainly doing the communicating? There was one doing the molding and doing the physical part of it?
I will say it's not just Jody and I who are doing this project. Mm-hmm. We have an amazing group of three other people consisting of Catherine Liu, Pavan Thacker, and Morgan Boonshaft, who have also been helping us with this project. We, for the longest time, had weekly meetings every Sunday to discuss what we would do every single week to try to develop kind of our ideas. I was really in charge of communication with Envision Charlotte, and I was the one who kind of got us closer with Envision and got us the connection to make it so that we were actually partnered with Envision Charlotte and not just volunteers. And Jody was really involved in kind of finding all the research and purchasing all the molds that we needed and kind of doing all the logistics. So I think I got the easier end of the deal than she did.
No. I mean, as she said, that we're a group of five people, and I think we did a really good job of really spreading out work evenly. I don't think any of us could really claim to be a leader of any sort. I think it's just different jobs.
It's really great. One last question before we go into our lightning round. Why are you guys so passionate about these environmental issues? What is motivating you? How did you get into this?
Well, for me, I guess I just hear a lot about it in the news and how climate change mostly is affecting the world already. Like animals, natural habitats, extreme weather. It's just really scary, personally. And as young people, we can do something about it, and I think that we should do something about it because it's our only world right now. So, I think it's important that we act right now. So, yeah.
For me, as cliche as it sounds, I've always wanted to make the world a better place. And when when we first got involved with Envision, I was like, wow, this is an existing organization that is doing really great work. And I want to be as involved as possible. I want to help out as much as possible.
For me, at least, it came more so from a personal experience where I am a really avid whitewater kayaker, and I would see all of this, as I've mentioned before, all of this river plastic that was just lining the sides of all these rivers, ruining all of the beautiful scenery, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, that was just really troublesome because no matter how beautiful the mountains looked or no matter how clear the water was, you always had at the corner of your eye, there was a plastic bottle or there was that old flip-flop that somebody threw in the river many, many years ago, and it's just been sitting there and creating and festering microplastics. So I really wanted to do something that would impact the environment directly around me. And that's how I got into it.
Had a very similar experience, not whitewater kayaking, but camping, growing up, you know, being outside all the time and being on trails, seeing all the trash and plastic that people were leaving behind. And my career path has taken me to be able to make an impact on that and through the built environment. So it's definitely about making the world a better place, making the environment cleaner and healthier for everyone, and, you know, reversing the effects of climate change.
I would say personal experience, same for me. When I was younger, a lot of what my dad and I used to do was just go out and hike, go to trails. I mean, I was a big nature girl. I loved the outdoors. I mean, I was really involved in, I mean, I think in my lower school science class, you can still find like the snake skins I collected during our walks, or the feathers I found while walking around the trail. But yeah, it was more of like, this is like my environment, and I want to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, lightning round. In terms of sustainability, what is one thing you could do? Would anyone like to start?
I can start. I know my parents always told me to turn off the lights and when I left a room, and that's definitely something that still applies. And with all the electronics and devices we have, make sure you're unplugging your devices and when they don't need to be charged.
One thing I have is, like, make sure you know what can and can't be recycled in your area. I know in Charlotte recently, I found out that only number one plastic is recycled, so that's your plastic bottles. And you can't recycle, like, shredded up plastic or shredded up paper.
Mm-hmm.
You can't recycle bottles that don't have, like, a bottleneck, like, that are glass, or that that messes up their machinery. So just figure that out, because they have to throw out a ton of good recycled stuff because it's contaminated by bad recycled stuff.
Yeah, going on with that, even an easier one, once you've figured out what can and can't be recycled in your area, just wash your yogurt cups, wash your containers that you're going to throw into the recycling. Take off the little plastic wrapping around your plastic bottles. It makes the job for everybody else at the recycling facilities a lot easier.
To reduce your carbon footprint, I, with my dad and my sister, we bike to school and we walk to school a lot, so just not driving as much, maybe using public transportation, or biking or walking is always good. So
I guess mine would just be informed. Knowledge is power. I think the biggest thing you can do is just continue learning, you know? Thank you, Libby, Jody, Laura, and Jennifer, for being here with us today. You guys all did wonderful. I loved hearing everything you had to say. I learned a lot. so thank you. I enjoyed talking with you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today to hear it all straight from the horse's mouth, our spirited official school podcast. Be sure to join us again to hear the voices of our global PD community in future episodes. You can find episodes and more information at providenceday.org/podcasts.